Why do spiritual women and men have a harder time finding love? And how can we get out of our own way in our dating lives? Stay tuned to Deeper Dating as I interview Arielle Ford, one of the world's most loved experts on the search for a soulmate. I think that after hearing this interview, you're going to come away with a new sense of clarity, hope, and motivation.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page, and today we have our very first thought leader guest of this entire podcast series, and I'm thrilled that it's my dear friend, Arielle Ford. Let me tell you a little bit about Arielle, and then I'll tell you a little bit personally about Arielle before we begin. So, Arielle Ford is a love and relationship expert and a leading personality in the personal growth and contemporary spirituality movement. And for the past 25 years, she's been living and teaching and promoting consciousness through all forms of media. She's a speaker and the producer and host of Evolving Wisdom's Amazing Art of Love series. That's my word, amazing, because it is. Her mission is to help people find love and keep love, and most importantly, connected to what we'll be talking about today, to be love. And Arielle's a gifted writer and the author of 11 books, including the international bestseller, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. She has just created the world's first transformational coloring book based on The Soulmate Secret, and it's entitled Inspirations, Love by Design, Coloring the Divine Path to Manifest Your Soulmate. And this book blends Arielle's step-by-step method for manifesting love with the romantic original artwork of artist Manja Burton. It's a fun, creative, and powerful process. And she's also the author of Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate, which is devoted to exploring a simple, fun, and effective way to attain groundbreaking shifts in perception so that you can embrace and find the beauty and perfection in yourself and your mate. And she has been called the Cupid of Consciousness and the Fairy Godmother of Love. And she is. She lives in La Jolla, California, with her husband and soulmate, Brian Hilliard, and their feline friends. And you can join her newsletter at soulmatesecret.com. So welcome, Arielle. So good to have you here.
I'm excited to talk to you. This is really fun.
So I just want to tell you a little bit about Arielle and how she lives what she teaches. A number of years ago, I was in the search for a publisher for my book, Deeper Dating. And I had loved Arielle's work and I knew that she was just a top leader in the field. And I called her. I don't remember how I got your number, but I got her number. Total stranger. She had never heard of me. We talked like 45 minutes. She gave me the most incredible guidance. She connected with the ways we and our visions interacted, and she became what's now a dear and lifelong friend. And so that's just an example of Arielle kind of living an abundance of spirit that she teaches and really practices. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back.
This is as well.
So, Arielle, today we're going to be talking about something very, very interesting. And it's a subject that you wanted to speak about. And it is Is love harder for spiritual people? And I'd like you to share anything you want about this topic in general so that we can kind of dive in from there.
Yeah, you know, so I've been teaching this for over 10 years now, and I noticed a pattern both in, you know, the people who came to my speaking events or my workshops, and I mostly get a lot of straight women. That's my core audience. They tend to be over 40. They tend to be smart and successful, and they identify themselves as spiritual and deeply troubled when it comes to finding love and keeping love. And so I've spent a lot of time observing them and talking to them and trying to figure out, why is it so much harder for these smart, successful, spiritual women? And what I've discovered is a couple of things. The first is how they define spirituality. It seems like today a lot of people have conflated healthy lifestyle and healthy living with a spiritual path. So a typical day for some of them might be that, you know, they wake up, they drink, they make a non-GMO organic green drink, they go to a hot yoga class, you know, they stop at Whole Foods later in the day for, you know, some organic healthy thing to eat. They might go to a Soul Cycle class. They're reading Marianne Williamson and Deepak Chopra, but they're constantly beating themselves up. Mm. You know, they're very judgmental, not only when it comes to themselves, but to other people. And they somehow have decided that if they want a spiritual man. And when I ask them to define what is a spiritual man, they'll say to me, well, somebody who meditates and practices yoga. Now, those do not define a spiritual man. So for me, spirituality is the daily practice of giving love and kindness and compassion and service. And none of the things I've described have anything to do with love, kindness, compassion, or generosity or service.
That's right.
And certainly, I think what these women most want is not a spiritual man. They want a conscious man. Mm. And a conscious man is a man who lives his life on purpose. So he may never meditate, never do yoga, never drink a green drink, never heard of Deepak Chopra or Marianne Williamson. You know, but he's good and kind to his friends and family. He may be coaching Little League or volunteering for Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And more than anything, he wants to devote his life to your happiness. Now, doesn't that sound better than, oh, well, he's got to meditate, you know?
It sure does, but it's right? A shift. It's
yeah. And, yeah. You know, if he meditates and he does it because he wants to deepen his connection to the divine, that's wonderful. But a lot of people are meditating because they think they should. And then they have all kinds of guilt because they don't meditate or they don't do it for the full 20 minutes or whatever it is. So I've really seen that first we have to understand that if we're going to claim to be spiritual beings, we have to start with ourselves. And by starting with ourselves, that means we have to start managing our thoughts and our beliefs and our emotions. So that when we start to beat ourselves up, we stop, you know, and we look into the mirror and we start to learn to love ourselves more. The other thing that I've noticed is that these people who call themselves spiritual are not only judgmental to themselves, they're judgmental about everybody else.
Because that's how it works.
You know, and I think part of the reason for that is, you know, we come into this life with core wounds. And then if we have half a brain, we want to figure out, well, how do I heal this? How do I stop being somebody who has a fear of abandonment or has poverty consciousness or whatever the core wound is, you know? And so that's where it all gets kind of nezzy for me, you know? Like, I am one of these people, and you're a therapist. You could maybe disagree or agree with me. I actually believe that our core wounds are a gift. I think they're the reason we're here. I also believe that no matter how much work you do on yourself, you can learn to manage your core wounds. You can learn to pacify yourself. You could possibly even get 90% better. But at the end of the day, it's never going away completely.
Absolutely not. And I deeply agree with that. And I believe that our what I call our core gifts are surrounded by our deepest wounds. They join together into an amazing matrix that equals being human. And what you've talked about is the way to get to the heart and soul of that matrix. And it's through kindness. And it's through love. So that this kind of spiritual approach that you're describing is the same as like getting perfect glutes and perfect abs, but just in another arena. And it's a bypass of the thing that matters most, which I think is such a huge part of your lesson. So what would you say to all of these women and all of these men, and this includes people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, everybody, what would you say to this kind of whole crew of single people who care deeply about spirituality but need to learn to decenter from beating themselves up and judging themselves and other people and shift to a path of finding love that's based on these values? Give us some advice.
Well, you know, I happen to be married to a man that I consider a heart chakra on legs. And he has told me many times that his purpose for being alive is twofold. The first is to take care of me. And the second is to make sure that everybody he comes in contact with has the experience of being loved. That is his reason for getting out of bed in the morning.
So beautiful.
Yeah, it is, and it's so true, and it's so who he is.
Yeah.
So there's a line in A Course in Miracles, which I just love, and it says, the only thing that can be lacking in any situation is that which you are not giving. So if you're seeing that love is missing, where can you begin to give more love in your life? So that's part one of it. Part two is all my teaching is based on the law of attraction. And law of attraction 101 states that we draw to us the people, places, and experiences that match our state of being.
Yes.
If our state of being is I'm lovable, I'm loving, I'm deserving of love, I'm lucky in love, that's most likely what you'll see show up in your life. But if your state of being is I'm a loser in love, I'm unlucky in love, I'm completely unlovable, undeserving of love, that too will be your experience.
Yes.
So going back to A Course in Miracles is, you know, the only thing that can be lacking in any situation is that which I am not giving. So I believe the place to begin is by making a list of all the people that you know already love you. You know, friends, family, siblings, kids, parents, neighbors, coworkers, make a nice long list and then create a daily practice of gratitude for all the love you already have. Because when you're in this state of, oh God, I am so blessed, I have all these people who love me, and your focus is on the abundance of love you already have, that is when your heart becomes magnetic to romantic love.
I love what you're saying, Arielle. And I want to add in a third category of a kind of condition that we can find ourselves in and ask for your thoughts on what to do when we're in that state. That's not the state where we're really, really negative and shut down. It's not the state where we're open and loving. It's the state where we're just hurting, feeling human, feeling burned out, feeling like our resources are limited, and we're not going to be able to shift right into this gratitude-filled, happy zone. What do we do when we're in that state, which does comprise a chunk of our lives?
That is a normal state, which is why I believe in creating a spiritual toolkit so that when you're in that state, you can shift yourself out of it. So I'll tell you what's in my spiritual toolkit. I like to do EFT tapping.
Love that.
Think it's great. You can learn how to do for free on the internet. Just Google EFT tappings. Lots and lots of ways to do it.
And good research on that too.
It's really great stuff. I like the Sedona method, which is a method of self-talk, which is also highly learnable. I also do what I call feelingizations. And I give these away for free on my website. If you go to soulmatesecret.com and click on free stuff, you can get dozens of them for free. But what that is we've all heard of visualizations. Oh, I'm visualizing. I want a new navy blue convertible BMW. And I see myself driving down the freeway with the top down and I can smell the leather seats. And you have all these beautiful pictures in your head. But on the emotional level, what you're feeling is, I can't afford it. I don't deserve it. It's never going to happen. And that then cancels out all the pretty pictures you just made. So in a feelingization, what I do is I guide you through leaving your head, dropping down into your heart, and we remember and re-experience feelings of love and appreciation and gratitude.
Beautiful.
And when we do this with our attention on our heart, we go into a measurable scientific state known as heart coherence. And when we're in the state of heart coherence, that's when real manifestation can take place. So in a couple of minutes, we're in this state of love. And then if your desire is to meet and marry your soulmate, life partner, then you can drop that into your heart. And using your imagination, how am I feeling now that at a deep soul level, my soul and I are joined together? I want to take it a step further. You can actually meet your soulmate today by doing the feelingization on my site called the Golden Cord. Because in the world of quantum science, there's a couple of things that have been proven. One is that time does not exist.
Right.
This now moment, but there's no past, there's no future, there's just this now moment. What we also know is that in quantum science, we all exist in a field. And in the field, we are already connected to our soulmate life partner.
Love
so
that.
If you drop down into your heart and you go into the field and you're in this high frequency state of love and appreciation and gratitude, you can then send a golden cord out to your beloved, even though you don't know his or her name or where they live or when they're going to show up in the 3D world. You can start the relationship today. And you do that by silently talking to them heart to heart. So this is what I like to call love before first sight.
I love that. And you practiced this manifestation in your own life to meet Brian, didn't you?
Yeah, no, everything I teach only came about because it's what I did. You know, I didn't wake up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to become a love expert. That was like not on the to-do list anywhere ever. I worked in publicity and publishing most of my life. And it was only when I decided to manifest a soulmate for myself, and then it worked really well and really quickly, and people started asking me how I did it, that one thing led to another. And now this is what I do. I get to teach love for a living, which is such a blessing, as you know.
I love that. I love that. I want to ask you another question about spiritual people. And I want to kind of actually shift the word there to deeply sensitive people, mm-hmm. highly sensitive people. Because yeah. in my experience, often when we're deeply highly sensitive, we need to protect ourselves. And sometimes we can protect ourselves in a world of spirituality and personal growth without realizing that there's a fear that's stopping us from getting out there. So I'd love to hear any of your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I'm an HSP. I'm a highly sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just driven crazy by bright lights and loud noises and crowds. And I've had to learn how to manage that and manage where I am.
Yeah. So for those people who don't know how to reach out yet, want a quiet, safe space, but also know that they need to get out there to date. Any thoughts that you want to share for them and how to
live? Yeah, well, there's two. So first, let's talk about intuition, okay? Because both spiritual people and highly sensitive people tend to be intuitive.
Yes.
And they make a huge mistake when it comes to dating because they rely on their intuition to help them find love. And that is the worst thing you can do because you cannot be your own intuitive, just like you don't want to be your own lawyer or your own doctor. Okay, what you need to know when it comes to manifesting love is you have to be very practical. There are practical things to consider. So women have this crazy belief, well, if my soulmate comes to the front door and I open the door, I'll know in 20 seconds whether or not he's the one.
And let me just say, men as well, without a doubt.
But sometimes men do know. I've met more men that have known, but I've very rarely meet women who do know. And the reason is because men and women's brains are wired differently. And so women fall in love between their ears. And they actually need to take the time to get to know a man or get to know a woman and get to know their values. And in my research of interviewing soulmate couples, it usually takes until the fifth date before a woman even starts to really feel chemistry.
I love that. And that's so important. And guys, I want to tell you that even though you know if you're attracted to someone or not right off the bat, that can grow. And the research backs that up as well. And you had some really interesting research on that, Ariel, as well.
Yeah. So you really got to take your time and give people a chance. You know, my friend Carol Allen has this great line. She says that if you go out on a first date with somebody and they didn't 100% gross you out, then give them a second chance. Because yeah, all of us get nervous on first dates.
Absolutely. You know,
you have,
I remember speaking
to someone.
Yeah, I remember speaking to a mentor of mine, and I was dating someone, and I told John, I said, you know, I liked him, but I wasn't that attracted. And I don't know if I should see him again. Is that wasting time? And he said to me, he said, keep dating him, and over time, he will either become more beautiful to you or he won't, and then you'll know. And I just love that.
Right, yeah. And the other thing to remember is that if you meet somebody and there's this, you know, super hot chemistry right away, run. Mm-hmm. Just run. That is not real. So, which actually leads me to something else I want to share with your folks. It's like, let's talk about what love really is.
Oh, please do.
Okay, so most people think love is a feeling. And there are feelings to love. But when you're in that state that we call being in love, I like to call that the socially acceptable form of insanity. It's a drug high. It's dopamine and adrenaline and oxytocin and all kinds of other things I can't even pronounce cascading through your brain. It's actually nature's trick to get us to procreate.
Yes.
But it is not love. Love is a behavior. It's a practice.
And an intention.
A choice, a decision, yeah. A way of being, an action.
That's right. That's right.
And when
That's
you're
right.
with your soulmate life partner, there will be days, I guarantee it, when you don't like them. You may even hate them, but it doesn't mean that you don't love them.
So important. So
it's really important to understand what real adult mature love is.
Yeah.
Which is why you can't, intuitive people can't really trust their feelings in the beginning. Now, there's one caveat to that. If you're getting a feeling like you're in danger, if there's a strong red flag, if you have felt something and heard something, before you run, question the person because you may be misinterpreting them. Don't make assumptions. You can just easily say, wow, I just heard you say ABC. Did you mean XYZ? And get clarity because you may have misheard it or misunderstood it. You know, so it's important not to put yourself in danger.
But
it's more important to ask good questions.
It is. And, you know, there's a question that we can ask of ourselves that I think bypasses that state of hypnosis. And the question is this, does my soul feel safe with this person? And you won't know right away, but it's a great intention question because over time you will. And that's a way to kind of get to that deeper intuition at the same time.
Right. And if you've dated somebody more than five times, that's a good time to start making sure your friends and family meet them. Because they will see things that you can't see.
They sure will. That's right. And if you're open to listening, they'll tell you in a New York minute.
Right. Right. Now, they probably won't listen. You won't listen. That's right.
And you and I doing the work we do have had that experience so many times.
Well, that's why I don't do coaching anymore, because it just drives me crazy.
I understand. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You just wasted an hour of my time. I told you everything that's going to happen and you went for it anyway. So I just gave up coaching because I just don't have the patience.
Arielle, I want to ask you another question, because what you're saying in a way is that so much of this work is to put your, I think you're saying this, to put yourself into the space where love can hit you, where you're in love, where you are love, a kind of zone where you are connected to love. And that's the primal task. And I want to ask you, if I could, if you're willing to describe when you go into that state, what it's like for Arielle.
Oh, that's easy. You know, when I'm being love and experiencing love, it feels like there are champagne bubbles running through me. It's just this really happy, bubbling, vibrant experience, you know. When Brian and I are together and we're just in sync, we don't even have to be talking. There's just this kind of nice, smooth ride together through life. And, you know, he's there for me and I'm there for him. And it's just, I call it my safe place to land.
I love that. I love that. Arielle, all the listeners out there who really care about growing and learning, or they wouldn't be here, and deeply want love in their lives, or they wouldn't be here, what would you most want to tell them to do?
Get online. Start online dating. Start
Say
today.
More.
It is the number one place to meet somebody. One in three marriages now starts online. There's been some new research, which I haven't been able to 100% confirm yet, but basically we all know that 50% of first marriages end in divorce, and the numbers go up from there.
Yeah.
There's some early studies showing that people who meet and marry online, the divorce rate drops to 8%. Because people who are looking for love are out there looking for love. Now, are there pitfalls to being online? Absolutely. Are you going to meet some liars and some losers? I guarantee it. Are you
Does
going to
have- online dating sculpt jerky behavior? Without a doubt.
Well, I don't exactly know that, but it wouldn't surprise me. But it doesn't matter. You know, I'll tell you a quick story. I have a girlfriend named Liz, and when she was 49 and never married, she decided that she was going to go online for a year. And if she didn't find her soulmate, then she was going to mortgage her house to hire a matchmaker. And Liz went on to Match.com, and I'll talk more about Match in a second. And she had 79 first dates in 9 months. A very busy, successful woman who has been studying all of the same people we like forever. 79 first dates. And number 80 has now been her husband for 7 years. And she's never been happier.
So that's really practical advice. That's really practical advice. But I want to ask you if you could distinguish between places like Match.com and geosocial apps like Tinder that have like a few.
I actually can't. But here, what I can tell you from my experience is that I have had 7 friends, all women over 50, who have met conscious, fabulous, successful, adorable men and married them through Match.com. Mm. And I've heard that eHarmony is also really good if marriage is what you're looking for. I am not a dating expert when it comes to Tinder or Bumble, although I have a friend who met her husband on Tinder. She was 40 and she was a triathlete, and that was one of her must-haves. He had to love God and be a triathlete and have high integrity, and she manifested him, and they just had their second baby.
Wow. Arielle, this is very you. You are really practical. You are really down to earth. And you are saying, folks, get onto online dating. It's the easiest and quickest way. And use it in the most conscious way you can.
Here's how to use it if you're a spiritual person.
Tell us.
So if you're a spiritual person, my friend Lara Fernandez teaches this. Make it a ritual. Carve out 30 minutes every day. And before you get online, light a candle, have some flowers, smell some aromatherapy, say a prayer, do a little process, and make it a spiritual experience. Just like you would sit down to meditate, you're sitting down to ask God and all your ancestors on the other side and all your angels and devas to help you search the site that you're on to find your soulmate.
Beautiful.
And what I would suggest for women in particular is don't sit around waiting for someone to find you. Be super proactive. Get out there and start reading profiles. And when you find a profile where there's one thing that you like that you respond to, then send that person a message. And it only needs to be one sentence. So let's say I find your profile, Ken, and it says in there that you're just, you know, your absolute favorite food is the Hawaiian pizza at Tony's. And that's actually my favorite pizza too. So I then send you a one sentence message that says, you know, hey, Ken, I think we're pizza soulmates. I also love the Hawaiian pizza at Tony's, period. Not another word. Because of course they're going to go look at your profile. And if they're interested, they'll write you back.
Right.
And that's how you start the conversation.
I love it. And you know, another thing that you could do along the lines of what you're saying is you can do a search for spiritual words. You can do a word search, a keyword search for spirituality, for volunteer work, for nature, and that'll help you find people who share values with you really quickly.
And I wouldn't use the word spiritual, and here's why. Because it means different things to different people. And spirituality, as we've just discovered, conflating it with healthy lifestyle, doesn't tell you enough about their values. If it were true, you know who Russell Simmons is, right? Russell Simmons has written lots of books on yoga and spirituality, and he's being indicted for 4 rapes right now. So just because someone meditates or does yoga is zero indication that they share your values.
Right, but that's true with volunteer work and anything else as well.
Yeah, so, you know, and you really have to ask yourself with these key words is, you know, so like my friend Shanda, who had to have someone who was a triathlete.
Yes.
Because triathletes are maniacs, and you have to understand their compulsion to exercise 50 million hours a week. You know, figure out what is the one or two things, the values, that's going to contribute to your long-term happiness. You know, search for that. Because just because somebody meditates, listen, you could meditate with somebody every day, but you both have your eyes closed. It doesn't really contribute to your long-term happiness. You know, if you're somebody who absolutely has to live near the beach and you know that, you know, look for that. Must love beach. Or if you're like, I'm a cat lover. I knew from a child I would have cats my whole life. I could never be with somebody who's allergic to cats. Mm-hmm. No matter how nice they are. And I also love adventure travel. So I couldn't be with somebody who doesn't have a passport. You know, so really think about what are the key must-haves and search that way.
And what I would encourage everybody to do is to stretch in your must-haves and ask yourself this. If there was somebody who was your soulmate, but they didn't have that one quality, would you say no to them? And if the answer is you wouldn't say no to them, then you might want to reconsider stretching, because the universe puts us in situations where the people we expect are not the people we get. My husband, perfect example of what you're saying, doesn't meditate. He doesn't do yoga. He doesn't do any of those things.
I don't do meditate or do yoga, but my husband does. Imagine if that was... You know, something
a prerequisite. That's right.
Doesn't mean I'm not a spiritual person. No, I am. I'm a Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, pagan, and I have lots of rituals that I do all the time. I'm a spiritual mutt. But if he said must do yoga,
exactly,
we wouldn't be together.
So this is something about opening up your field of reference, being open to being surprised by life. And that comes back to your original premise, which is don't have models of what you have to have that actually take you out of your heart.
Yeah. I would also say it's good to have a short deal breaker list.
Yes.
So I'm allergic to tobacco. I could never be with a smoker and remain healthy.
Not an option.
It'd be very difficult. So one of my must-haves is, or was, and still is, must lead a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
That takes care of all things, addiction, smoking, you know, super risky behavior, you know. And another thing is that given that poverty consciousness is my core wound, I knew I needed somebody who was financially responsible. So I'm not dictating how much money they make or don't make. But whatever money they have, I needed somebody who could be financially responsible with that money.
Yes, so important too, so that you're not triggered. And each of us has our own triggers, whatever they are. So Arielle, do you have any closing thoughts for folks that are highly sensitive or spiritual or just care deeply about personal growth and are longing for a relationship and have listened to this episode and listened to you? And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to tell about how people could get in touch with you. But for now, any last words from your heart that you want to share with this learning community?
You know, here's what I know for sure. Right now, there are 7.46 billion people alive on the planet. Half of them are single. You are virtually tripping over potential soulmates every single day. And the reason you don't recognize them is because you're not paying attention and you're not making yourself visible. You may be out in the world. You may be standing in line at Starbucks. But if you're looking down at your smartphone, that sends a very clear signal you are not available. So it's really critical that you make yourself visible on every level, that you're getting out of the house, that you're online dating, you're going to meetups, you're telling everybody you know that you're open, willing, and available for a long-term committed relationship, and do they know anybody? And really start to put yourself out there. And yes, there will be days when you're terrified. So what? You know, yes, you're going to have bad dates. So what? You know, my friend Evan Marquez has this great line. He says to people, did you ever go out to dinner and have a bad meal? And of course, everybody says yes.
Right.
And his next question is, but did you stop eating?
Right.
Right. So don't stop. Put yourself out there. Just like my friend Liz had 79 first dates, number 80 was the grand prize, and he's absolutely perfect for her, and they couldn't be happier.
Arielle, those words were so wonderful that I wish I could frame them. Be a little bit long to have as a framed piece, but every word counted, and I just think that you captured in the most both practical and sparkling way possible what everybody should be doing. I can't thank you enough for being part of this show. And I'd like to ask you how people can learn more about your work, how they can get in touch with you, how they can learn from you, where they can go to do that.
It's all at my website. It's soulmatesecret.com, soulmatesecret.com. And, you know, my live speaking events are listed there. If I've got stuff coming up on various one-day events, and also go to the free stuff tab and get the feelingizations and start doing those. I only do 3 weekends a year, so my next one will be in February, mid-February, at 1440 Multiversity, which is outside San Jose. It's the newest retreat center. It's kind of like Four Seasons meets Omega. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be at Esalen again. When am I at Esalen? I think sometime in June, early June, I'm at Esalen, and I'm in Chicago for a 1 day in April. But I'm easy to find. I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/soulmatesecret. So come play, you know. And what I really want to tell your listeners is listen to you, listen to Ken, because he knows what he's talking about.
Thank you so much, Arielle. It was a joy to have you as my very first guest ever.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, listeners.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.